This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جزاك الله خير Thank you for joining us night number 19 of this year's Ramadan الحمد لله We are reaching the end of the second third of the month of Ramadan May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us all the khair of what remains آمين We also came to a conclusion last night as to the fourth section of Surah Yasin. And we begin a new section this evening, a very short section, which will speak about the Prophet ﷺ and mention his status and his position. It's a very short section. We might even conclude it this evening as well. And maybe as a recap to understand where we are, the introduction, the first section was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yasin wal Quran al Hakim, innaka lamin al mursaleen. It began by saying, O Muhammad ﷺ, you are a messenger, you are on the straight path. This is a guidance from Allah. And therefore, don't feel bad if someone turns away from it. Those who have iman, those who are fearful and conscious of Allah, they are good human beings, they have some decency, they are the ones who will see the truthfulness in this. And as for the ones who turn away, they turn away for their own detriment, and they turn away after knowing the truth. They are either oblivious, they're completely blind to all the signs Allah has sent them. Allah has sent them enough reminders, and so they turn away, living a life that is heedless, uncaring, they have no consideration, where am I going, what is my life? They just go through the motions in life. Or if they know, then they deliberately reject it. And this, of course, is like the senior members of the Quraysh, the likes of Abu Jahl, the likes of Al-Walid al-Mughira, we will speak about this evening. And so they turn away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then has closed off their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in the second section the consequences of a city that rejected the ayat and how they were destroyed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went in the third section, speaking about all those signs that are around us, the plants, the sun, the moon, how we travel through this earth, how Allah has made life easy for us, and that we take these signs for granted, and how in everything we can see Allah's power and His majesty, we can see the resurrection, we can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. And so we either acknowledge these signs and are grateful, or if we turn away, it is to our own detriment. In the fourth section, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then went into detail explaining what will be the outcome of the way we live our life. We will all be resurrected, and then there is this Jannah, this amazing place that Allah, may Allah grant us to be there, all the benefits and the bounties of Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that besides Jannah, there's another place, Jahannam, for those who reject the ayat, who don't follow the messenger, who turn away from the reminder, then for them is this place called Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended that section, and yesterday we spoke about those last few ayat of section 4, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if Allah so willed, Allah could cause that these disbelievers, they become blind and paralyzed, and so they would not be able to reach the straight path, meaning that they will be stuck on their misguidance forever, if Allah so willed. It also shows that Allah is still giving them a chance. They are still alive, and there is still chance for them. But of course, this is not only, remember, this is not only a reminder to the Quraysh, it is a reminder to you and me, that if we do not submit ourselves to the guidance, Allah can take that guidance away from us. This blessing of Islam, that we should not take it for granted, we could wake up one day and subhanAllah, if we neglect it, it will be gone. And that is why that last ayah, perhaps the most eloquent ayah of the surah, it's almost poetic in nature. And that's why the next four ayah, which will speak like poetry, Allah says, وَمَن نُعَمِّرُهُ, whoever we increase him in life, نُنَكِّسُ فِي الْخَلْقِ, we decrease him in his creation. The longer he lives, the less and less he is in terms of his creation. Allah will take away more and more. As you become older, may Allah make it easy for our old people and grant them their health and strength. As you get older, Allah takes away your strength, He takes away your sight, He takes away your ability to walk, and the longer you live, basically the less you are. So the purpose of this ayah was to say that any blessing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn it around. It can actually become, if you neglect that blessing, a curse against you. And perhaps the greatest example of this is the Quran. We make this dua, Ya Allah, let the Quran be hujjatun lana. May it be a hujjah, an evidence for us, not alayna, not against us. On Qiyamah, there will be people who will go to Jannah because of the Quran. And there will be people who go to Jahannam because of the Quran. And so this blessing of the Quran is a blessing for some, and it is a curse for others, depending on how they interact with it. Now we begin the next section, the fifth section, which is a very short section, which again will speak about the Prophet ﷺ, and again Allah addresses the Nabi ﷺ directly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ شِعْرَهُ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ لِيُنْذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيَّ وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah says, we have not taught him, meaning the Nabi ﷺ, poetry, and it is not befitting for him to speak as a poet. In huwa illa dhikr, it is only, this revelation is but only a reminder, wa Qur'an mubin, and a clear recitation. It is a clear recitation. لِيُنذِرَ, to warn man kana hayyan, to warn people who are alive, wa yahikka al-qawlu al-kafirin, and to establish and to confirm the word, the promise against the disbelievers. So what is the linkage here? What is happening here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, after looking at the eloquence and the beauty of the Qur'an, looking at the beauty of the surah so far, and you know, many of us have reflected for the first time on Surah Yasin, and some of you even messaged me and said, it's amazing how we've recited the surah all our lives, and now that we analyze it, we see its perfection, how amazing it has been structured, and the imagery that the surah makes. And so Allah says, after reciting all of this, Allah is saying, this is not poetry, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not a poet. We did not teach him poetry. Rather, this is a reminder, and it's an instruction and a guidance for people. For people who are alive, people who want guidance, who want spirituality, this is a benefit for them. And as for them, those who turn away, then it is a promise, meaning it is an evidence that will be established against them. So when the punishment befalls on them, Allah protect us, this is going to be an evidence against them. Very interestingly, when we look at the Quran, without a doubt, it is the pinnacle of eloquence in terms of the Arabic language. We're doing a series called The Miracles of the Quran. Every Friday we release a part of it. We did part one, which was the linguistic miracles of the Quran. And part two were the scientific miracles of the Quran and the prophecies. Part three will talk about the themes of the Quran and the way it changed the world. But the first one, the linguistic miracles of the Quran, unfortunately many of us are not Arabs, and so we can't appreciate the true beauty of the Quran. The Quran, as we said, is the first book in the Arabic language, and its style and its eloquence, it's a masterpiece. It is so amazing that till today, in the leading universities in the world, when you want to study Arabic, you have to study the Quran as part of the curriculum. And this is not the case for many other religious scriptures. You don't study the Bible when you want to learn English, for example. Yet it is not poetry, and it cannot be defined as poetry as such. And the leading poets of the time, and the Arabs prided themselves for being masters of poetry in the time of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so naturally, one of the earliest things the Arabs did was to take the Quran or the verses of the Quran and say to their leading poets, what is this? Is this, these are claimed to be words from God Almighty. Surely you as poets, you can either replicate it or you can challenge it and you can match it. And Allah speaks very clearly about one of these incidences in Surah Mudathir, when the leading poet Al-Walid ibn Mughira, Al-Walid, the father of the very famous Sahabi Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, his dad, he was the leading poet of the Arabs in Mecca. And so when he looked at the Quran and he analyzed it, Allah speaks about how he paced back and forth and he frowned and he struggled to understand what is this. He couldn't comprehend where this is coming from. He knew that as a poet, and he knows how difficult it is to versify poetry for a man like the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who never read a book in his life, who never learned poetry, who never spoke poetry, for him to spontaneously recite these verses, he had no answer for it. And so he had his only response, فَأَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. Allah says he became arrogant and haughty, and he says, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَى, that this is only magic, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا قَوْلٌ بَشَرٌ, it is only the words of a human being. So Allah says, سَأُسْلِهِ سَقَرٌ, and so we're going to put him in Jahannam for the lie that he told, meaning behind closed doors. He said to Abu Jahl, he said to the leadership, that this is not the words of a man, but we can't say this to the people, because if I say that these are supernatural words, then subhanAllah, our people are going to leave the worship of our gods. And so they had no other choice but to deny it publicly, whereas privately they knew that these are not the words of a human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, very interestingly, that we have not taught the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam poetry, and therefore it's not befitting for him to speak poetry. And so we also learn a very interesting point, then the fact that Allah says, what we taught him, meaning whatever the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaks and teaches is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore even his sunnah, the hadith, and you can see a very big difference between the Quran in terms of the way it's recited versus the hadith. But even the hadith, which is the words of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they are inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why, as believers, we follow both the Quran and the example of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have a group of people called the Quraniyun. They reject the hadith, yet Allah is saying, if you truly want to reach Allah, then you need to follow the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so Allah reminds us that the words of the Quran are not from a human being, rather it is divinely ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a powerful refutation for those who don't accept the Quran and they say that this is not from Allah. They still have yet to prove then where does it come from. Because they cannot claim that the most influential book in the Arabic language, the most perfect book in terms of its style and its eloquence, the book that is still studied in universities around the world, was authored by a man who never studied and could not read or write. This is not possible, it's not plausible. And so for that reason, there is still no answer. Then if it does not come from Allah, then where does it come from? And similarly, the Quraysh, as they struggled, the disbelievers, they could not answer it. Today, those who disbelieve cannot answer. And so Allah says that this is a warning for him who is alive. Alive here does not mean physically alive. It means those who have decency, those who have goodness in them, those who are good human beings, those who are concerned about the well-being of the Akhirah, who think beyond just the day-to-day running of their lives. When they read this revelation, they will find in it guidance, they will find the truth in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says that if you are a good person, Allah will guide you to the truth. That Allah will give guidance to the one who wants guidance. He will not mislead anyone without a reason. But as for the one who disbelieves and rejects after seeing all these ayat, then for him, this Quran will be a word against him. It will be an evidence against him that now his chances are up. He has been given an opportunity to come to the straight path, and so he walked away from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now continue with another parable, another ayah for us to think about and for us to appreciate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا أَنْعَامًا فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ وَذَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ فَمِنْهَا رُكُوبُهُمْ وَمِنْهَا يَأْكُلُونَ وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعُ وَمَشَارِبُ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Allah will use animals now, the domesticated animals that we have, as an evidence, and we'll look at the link between them and what Allah is talking about in the section about revelation and rejecting the Prophet ﷺ. Allah says, do they not see what we have created for them from our own hands, have made grazing livestock? فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ. Are they then the owners of these animals? Are they the owners? And we have tamed for them, Allah saying, and we tamed for them. Some of them they ride and some of them they eat. And for them there are benefits and drinks that they may be grateful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here the animals that we have, the domesticated animals, the cows, the goats, the sheep, the chickens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to use an analogy with that for us. Now, what are we supposed to learn from this? Allah says that in the animals that we have, these domesticated animals, there are many, many blessings. Some animals we eat, some of them we enjoy their fur, some of them we drink the milk from them, the honey we get from the bees, we get clothing from them, we are able to use them as a mode of transport, perhaps not today, but in the past was used as a mode of transport. We use them to till the land, the ox and these kind of things. Allah says these are a blessing that we gave mankind. And Allah says in this ayah, beautifully, very amazingly, Allah says what we created with our own hands. Even though we know Allah has not created the animals with his hands physically, but it's to show how much we honored Bani Adam. Meaning, we created these animals exclusively for you. Not the cows, the goats, the chickens, they have, you know, besides feeding us, we benefit from them. There's very little else that there's use for them outside of our domestication. And so Allah says, these are almost like an exclusive benefit I have given you. And Allah says, I have tamed them for you. These are, many of these animals are bigger than us. The camels, the ox, they are bigger than us. But we've subdued them, we've made them humble to you so that you can benefit from them and that that you have mastery over them. So when Allah says, we created with his own hands, it doesn't mean that Allah created them physically with his hands. We know that there are only four creations which Allah created physically with his own hands in a manner which befits his majesty, and that being the arsh, the throne of Allah, the pen that writes the words of destiny, coming up Laylatul Qadr, we'll talk more about destiny inshallah, the plants of Jannatul Firdaus, Allah decorated that highest Jannah of Aden with his own hands, and of course Nabi Adam, Allah fashioned and shaped him with his own hands in a manner which befits Allah's majesty. And so the analogy here about the animals which Allah has tamed and subdued, that which we eat from and we drink, in another ayah Allah subhanahu says, have you not looked at these animals, that same animal that gives you pure clean milk, inside of its abdomen is blood, is urine or feces, yet they do not contaminate this milk. It comes out for you pure and you can benefit from it. What is the purpose of this? Something to ponder about, yes, to be grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't think that you are in control of these creatures. These creatures Allah has
put inside them something which makes them docile and makes them, that gives you the ability to tame them and to make benefit of them. So easily they could rebel against you. As we see today, we are not in control. This tiny virus, Allah doesn't have to make the cows and the animals, the bigger creatures, rebel against us. Just this tiny virus which isn't alive can rebel against us, and all of our power and our might comes to nothing. So Allah says, don't think you are in control. These are only gifts Allah gives you for your benefit. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that we are in charge of this, not so that we can, Allah almost asks rhetorically in the ayah, فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ, meaning, are they the ones who own it? Do you think you own the creation? Rather, you are not put here to exploit and to use these creatures and all of creation. You are only in charge by Allah's mercy and His grace. It's in it is a sign that if we exploit the blessings of Allah, we misuse them. We don't use how Allah intended us to use nature. Nature will turn against us and it will be to our own detriment. Also, more importantly than that, one other point to say is that if everything around us that we can see, the plants, the animals, the land, is for our benefit, we are on top of the food chain, and these things are here that Allah has given us as a mercy, then what is our purpose? Their purpose is to facilitate for us. They are a gift to us. So the question is, then what is our purpose here? Our purpose is, of course, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our purpose is not just to eat and drink and to enjoy this world. Rather, we have a higher purpose, and that is the Creator. So all of creation has been facilitated for us. Allah has tamed it. Allah says, Sakhar, in another ayah, He says, I have tamed it, I have subdued these creations so that you could take advantage and you could use these things in a way I've decreed for you, so that you can attain a higher purpose, and that is to worship Allah, to become connected to the Creator, to focus on the Creator and not the creation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so at least will you not be grateful? Will you not at least give thanks for the blessings that Allah has given you? How Allah has put us in a position of a Khalifa, He has put us in charge of this planet. Will we not be grateful? Gratitude means, yes, saying Alhamdulillah. Gratitude means using the blessing of Allah in the way He intended. So when you look at your health, for example, now when any one of us are at the risk of becoming sick, we know the value of our health, our eyes, our body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how many of these blessings have we used correctly? Our eyes, for example, have we used it for good or for bad? The hands that we have we used it for good or for bad? When these things will testify against us on Qiyamah, will they say that we use it in Allah's service, or have we used it against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So one of the ways of being grateful is, of course, using the blessings as it was intended. And of course, to share, to give to those who don't have. But beyond that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to reflect about the one who gave us these blessings. So Allah says, your purpose was to enjoy these things and to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who tamed the whole of creation for you. Allah says, I've made you the master of these creations. You don't own it. You are being given it as a gift. And then look at the response. Allah says, in spite of all of this, in spite of all the things I have given you, وَلَهُمْ فِي Allah says after that, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِيَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. Then they still, on top of all that, oh insan, you've taken others besides Allah as your gods, as your deities, that you submit to, that you worship, that you turn to. After all Allah has given you, you turn away from Him and you give praise and thanks and worship. You bow down to idols, to graves, to statues, to sticks, to karamats. These things which themselves have no power, they don't benefit you, they do not even benefit themselves. How ungrateful then is that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? لَعَلَّهُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. Allah says, they turn to these other deities, hoping that they may assist and benefit them. And meaning that these things cannot benefit you, and you cannot benefit these things at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues saying, لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند محضرون, that they are not able to help them, and they are for them soldiers in abundance. So here's a multiple tafsir of this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that how ungrateful is insan after I've given him all these things and I've subdued creation for him. He turns to others in worship besides me, and he humbles himself. Basically, we belittle ourselves by turning to things that are dead, that have no ability in them. Allah says, not only will these things, these idols, these things that you worship, not only are they not able to help you, but they are soldiers for them. Now, what does this mean, soldiers? It could mean here that you, O insan, you have to defend these idols. You have to defend your statues, your things that you worship besides Allah. You bring food to it. You bring offerings to it. You have to defend it. They are in need of you, yet you turn to them. The idols, for example, they made it with their own hands. SubhanAllah, the idol maker makes it with his own hands, and then he worships it. Like Nabi Ibrahim said, what purpose is this? That you worship something which you yourself created. Many times the things that we worship are dead. They are in their graves. They themselves need dua. So you are worshipping something which need your assistance. The other tafsir is that they will be against you on the day of Qiyamah. One of the punishments of the people that committed shirk is they will become face to face with that which they worship. And those things will, the objects of their worship, their ilahs, will reject them, will turn away from them. For example, Nabi Isa we know is perhaps the most worshipped ilah, Jesus Christ. Nabi Isa will say on the day of Qiyamah, I have nothing to do with these people. They worship me, O Allah. I did not tell them to do this. You know, as Nabi Isa will say in the Quran, you know what is inside of me and I don't know what is inside of you. I only said to them, worship la ilaha illallah, that you only have one ilah who is your creator. Worship Allah alone. And so Nabi Isa will reject them. And so Allah says they will be an army against you on the day of Qiyamah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now again specifically to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Allah says, so don't feel bad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't feel bad about what they say to you. They are the ones that are misguided. They are the ones that turn away from the ayat. They are the ones who are on the path of destruction. You have warned them. You have done your job. Whatever they say to you is nonsense. Whatever they say to you in rejection, do not let this make you feel bad. I know, Allah says, I know what they, ma yusirruna wa ma yu'linuna, that which they say on the inside and that which they say publicly is different. That which they say on the inside, they are filled with doubt. They are scared about this revelation. But what they show publicly of arrogance is not the truth, what's in their heart. So Allah says, leave them and don't feel bad. You just do your job. And once again, Allah changes the verse from being a third person to second person, meaning Allah is speaking directly to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he's giving the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a comfort. You keep doing what you're doing. You are on the path of righteousness. Don't let them distract you from it. You just warn, and those who have life in their hearts, they will follow. Those who are conscious of the blessings of Allah, those who, when they see the blessings of Allah, they say Alhamdulillah and they share it with around them. They don't abuse and exploit the gifts Allah has given them. These are the ones who are on guidance. And as for those who are heedless and are arrogant, leave them. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with them. So once again, it's a warning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything that they do in their public and private life. And of course, for all of us, subhanAllah, Allah is aware of what we do. And we will be accountable to Allah for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in our blessings. May Allah grant that all the favors that He has given us be a hujjah for us. May we use it in the way He has intended for us to use it. And may we, of course, of all the blessings, the blessing of guidance, may we not neglect it. May we not turn away. May Allah grant us all the best in this remainder of the month of Ramadan. We continue with the last section tomorrow or the day after, inshallah, and we'll conclude with the surah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.